Before I comment on the text that you have before you, let me urge you to read the first chapter in the required textbook, The Origins of the Christian Mystical Tradition by Andrew Louth. You'll find that it's really only about 16 pages long, and it's a wonderfully condensed discussion of Plato's contribution to mystical theology. And much of what I'm going to say now and in the next two lectures is also described in Louth's book in a slightly different way. He, for example, also provides a commentary on the parable of the cave, which will be the subject of our next lecture. I've put down some of Plato's key ideas, but behind all of this is my dear hope that you will, after these first three lectures, think of Plato not primarily as a philosopher in the modern sense of the word, but as what we would have to call a mystical theologian. For Plato, the goal of existence is to be in union with God, with the divine, with the One. And indeed, he believed in the existence of the one God beyond all mythology, beyond all secondary creatures, and he believed that it was possible over almost incalculable thousands of years and even a process entailing reincarnation to move into union with the One. This is the goal of existence. And so for Plato, our purpose on earth is to move towards understanding of, vision of, and ultimately union with the one God beyond thought, beyond comprehension, and yet who is reflected in the glory of all that we see. And so the first thing that I've mentioned is his theory of forms and ideas. And whereas this was originally with him a way of understanding language, it becomes much more than that, because he distinguishes between dianoia or dianoesis, that is to say, the function of the reasoning brain, what's used in Euclidean geometry, reasoning and thinking on the one hand, and the faculty of the nous, the innermost center of human personality. And this is a key for both Plato and all of those who use his works subsequently. The deepest level of the human self is not the soul or the psyche, but the nous, what is often translated as the intellectus in Latin. A deep part of the self, the fundamental part of the self, that yearns for the vision of God and has the ability to look beyond appearance and see with this faculty of theoria or contemplation the deeper realities of which everything created, everything that we see, is but a hint, but a superficial representation. So for Plato, the key is to exercise this nous, this deepest level of human personality. And that act of noesis for both Plato and for his later developer of his thought, Aristotle, noesis is a very high act that involves a participation in the thing perceived. Christians will later say that prayer is an act of the nous, of the innermost self. So this is not intellect in the modern sense, but an understanding of a deep core level of the self that yearns for the vision of God, which Christians will then apply and interpret as inviting the person into dialogue with the God whom they perceive, and ultimately that this kind of a vision, which is the last text that I've given on this page, is the highest form of life for human beings. To live the contemplative life, the life of vision, is the highest thing that human beings can do. This does not mean, in our modern sense, that one just sits and, as it were, inwardly views God constantly. For Plato and for Aristotle, for the whole of the ancient tradition, this coming to an ability to perceive the realities of the One for whom we long is also an act that presupposes the acquisition of the virtues. It presupposes a constant struggle against vice and what the Christian tradition will later call sin. It implies engagement with the world for the sake of becoming the best human being that we possibly can, which facilitates our capacity to behold God. So Plato contributes all of this to the later mystical tradition, and you can see how how very attractive his thought will be. We're going to move on now and look at two very important stories which he provides in his book Republic, which is, by the way, an encouragement to live a moral and ethical life. But the stories we'll be looking at are also about contemplation, about understanding who and what human beings are, how they can yearn for relationship with the divine, how they can begin to see God even in this life, and what the next stage of life beyond death will hold for us. I should mention one thing in passing and in conclusion. Although we yearn for union with the One, we yearn for union with the divine, for Plato, the divine does not yearn for union with us. We work at union, but there is no such thing as grace, that is to say, a gift of the One that facilitates our union with Him. So, although there are very many attractive elements in Platonic theology and philosophy, there are also some very serious problems for the Christian. We move now on to the parable of the caves.